93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The EFL Trophy semi-final, it had it all. Drama.
Ball to the near post, and an own goal of Christian Burgess. The ball is in.
Hope.
Put it into the net. A magnificent goal. Hammer McGeehan with his left foot.
And absolute delirium.
Curtis across the face, a goal. Marquez! Marquez! He's won it! 96 minutes on the clock. Porter the heading back to Wembley.
Wow. Tuesday night under the Fratton Park lights offered us an absolute treat of a game. Well, the final 20 minutes at least. The Blues are through to the EFL Trophy final for the second season running after that amazing comeback victory in midweek. And tonight we'll be going through some of your reaction from the game as well as a look ahead to Fleetwood away as league action returns before we can even catch a breath. This evening we want you back home to get involved with the discussion. Will you be going to Wembley this year or has the novelty worn off following last season's visit? Where does Tuesday night rank amongst Pompey's greatest games over the years, and do you think the club should prioritise in signing Steve Seddon on a permanent deal when his loan runs out at the end of the season? Go to our website expressfm.com to find out how to get in touch. Thanks for joining us this evening. Stay right where you are now because we've got plenty to bring to you between now and seven, right here on the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome back to the Friday Football Hour here on Express FM. Driven to you this season by Stagecoach Buses. Download the app today to plan your next journey. Coming up on tonight's show, I'm joined by John Hooper and Rhys Harding to look ahead to tomorrow afternoon's trip to Fleetwood, Steve Seddon's future at the club, and of course Tuesday night's dramatic game at PO4. But before we get into any of that, let's go back to Tuesday night, shall we? If you're listening back to it, I'm sure a lot of you will want to do that. Pompey were 19 minutes away from returning to Wembley Stadium in a bid to retain their EFL Trophy title. No club has ever done so. On the commentary for this one, Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
This competition has been much maligned in its current format with the under-23 sides involved. But for Portsmouth, it's already yielded one trip to Wembley and one trophy. And tonight, it seems to have caught the imagination of the city. On a pretty horrible night weather-wise, this half-term bumper crowd, though, have come. And looking at the team sheets, they will expect to cheer on the Blues to make it to Wembley for a second consecutive season. And McGeehan down the left finds Curtis just inside the penalty area. Curtis from the dead ball into Harrison. Oh, he's missed his kick and it's cleared away. And it should have been an opening goal for Portsmouth. It's instead a corner kick. Seddon back in with his left foot to the far post. Ward fumbles it. Marcus, has he put it in the net? He's claiming he has. Linesman not interested. Cleared away. No goal line technology here. Pompey send the ball back into the penalty area. Burgess is there. Wins the header straight to the goalkeeper. Still 0-0. Law, he's got space to hit one from here. Can Law play it into the area? Possible chance for Martin. Exeter with plenty of numbers. Martin's shot. Naylor flies into a challenge. Denies him. And it's a corner kick. Marcus lays it off. Can Harness deliver this time into the area? Hawkins, great save! Wonderful save from Ward. Best chance Portsmouth have had. Closest they've come, 0-0. Now to McGeehan. Let's see space down the left if he looks. Instead he'll go to the right. Harness outside the area. Can he get a shot away? Harness drills it! Just wide of the post. Inches away. Crowd becoming edgy now, wanting that goal. It's going to be a right-footed in-swinging corner to be sent in. Four lined up in a train on the penalty spot in towards the near post. Bass makes a mess of it. Pompey can't clear. It's into the net. Exeter have scored. Jake Taylor has smashed it in. Bath couldn't hold it. And Exeter have got the lead. It's Portsmouth 0, Exeter 1. Well, Marcus gets the ball again. Curtis in all kinds of space. Curtis, clean off the line. Harness, goal! Poppy do get their goal. Marcus Harness. Belief is what you can hear around Fratton Park because they've levelled it up. Curtis's effort cleared off the line. Harness scores. Portsmouth 1, Exeter 1. Ball to the near post and an own goal of Christian Burgess. The ball is in. Exeter have surely put their place at Wembley. Christian Burgess has passed, put the ball past his own goalkeeper, and it's Portsmouth 1, Exeter 2. But it's into the net! A magnificent goal! Cameron McGeehan with his left foot. What a cool finish! Cameron McGeehan, what a final quarter hour! Portsmouth may still be going to Wembley. It's Portsmouth 2, Exeter 2! Curtis brings it down in the penalty area. Curtis across the face of goal. Marquez! Marquez! He's won it! 96 minutes on the clock. Portsmouth are heading back to Wembley. They've done it in the most dramatic circumstances. John Marquez has done it. Pompey are heading to Wembley. It's Portsmouth 3, Exeter 2. The clearance is long. The whistle goes. Portsmouth are going back to Wembley thanks to two goals in stoppage time to beat a spirited Exeter side. It's finished Portsmouth 3, Exeter 2.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there of Pompey's thrilling match with Exeter City on Tuesday night. The Blues running out 3-2 winners despite being 2-1 down after 19 minutes. And rumours have it, Andy Moon is still screaming Marquez's name. After the game, Andy spoke to the gaffer Kenny Jackett, who had to try and summarise the thoughts on his win.
Kenny, many congratulations. Thank you. Been in football a long time, but there can't be too many final 15 minutes of games like that you've experienced.
No, and congratulations to the players. You know, they played well, I thought, today. It was a hard game. Exeter made it very difficult for us in the second half. I thought we were on top. I didn't know where the breakthrough was coming, although we had chances and were on top. They were always a threat. They defended very well. And we had to really persevere and work hard because, on many occasions and through many times, it didn't look like it was going to be our night. And players found a way in the end and great atmosphere in the ground.
Did you think it had gone?
Yeah, there was times where I thought it wasn't going to be our night. I didn't think, you know, we played badly. I thought we played well, particularly in the second half. We built it up, you know, and had clear-cut chances and were on top. They were, always, though, competitive Exeter, and you can see the type of season they're having. It's, a very good and confident performance by them. But, you know, we needed to keep working at it and persevered. It's great to get late goals. It's great and very, very good. And congratulations to the players for making sure we dug it out today.
What does it say about the character?
Yeah, character, confidence, belief, ability in the end as well, because, you know, there's some very good goals there as well. You know, for John coming through from deep there, it's a key winner. But, for Marcus Harness, he came close on a number of occasions, pleased he got a goal. For Cameron McGeehan, you know, that was an excellent goal, an excellent strike to make it 2-2 as well. So some quality as well as some heart.
What's that dressing room like you've just walked out of?
Yeah, it's a good dressing room. You know, I do feel we've got good characters, determination, and some togetherness there now, and some momentum. And you know, for the players that have played in that, they'll be delighted. But for the ones that are on the fringe, and you know, we're watching them now doing their work and their running. You know, we have good players there and good characters as well. And it's important that they're ready because over the coming months, we're going to need everybody.
Thoughts there of the manager Kenny Jackett following Saturday's, or rather Tuesday night's win over Exeter City. I still just can't get over that game. What a match at Fratton Park as Pompey booked their place in the EFL Trophy Final at Wembley, where they will take on Salford City on Sunday the 5th of April. Wow. John Hooper joins me in the studio for tonight's show. John, summarise that game on Tuesday night. I mean, it's been, what, 3 days now we've had to try and prepare for tonight's show, try and think of how to summarise that, and to be honest, I still can't.
Where do you want to start, Jake? The first 78 minutes where there was no real chances, then the final 12 plus at a time where there were 5 goals and it was going back and forth constantly. No, both sides getting a foothold. Nelson getting a foothold. Very poor defending tides. Also very good goals. Although on another day, Lux just keep a clean sheet. But yeah. Wembley again. The Carroll Wembley itself is huge for us as a club.
And Rhys Harding joins us in the studio tonight, making his debut on the Football Hour here at Express FM. Rhys, good evening. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Tuesday night, you were at the game. I saw you alongside John in the press box. Just, were you expecting that at all? I think going into the game, there was a lot of kind of expectation and hope that we would go on to win the match. But 2-1 down, 91 minutes on the clock, it seemed lost.
Well, I mean, I thought that Exeter were always going to have a bit of a challenge. We're going to provide a bit of a challenge, despite the fact being a league below us. But I thought we'd have a, you know, not an easy game, but I thought we'd sort of shut up shop maybe early in the match and see it through. But we didn't make it easy, and but I think the players showed great ambition to, even though going down twice, you know, we came back and we won 3-2. So at the end of the day, we're going to Wembley again, so you know, it's all smiles. We didn't make it easy for ourselves.
We never do.
Yeah, it was good. It's good to sort of get that 96 minutes over with and sort of have a rest at the end because it was quite the adrenaline rush.
I'm still struggling to get my breath. I mean, it doesn't help I've got asthma, but still struggling. But you look at 79 minutes, John, and we'll play the goal back now. Exeter 1-0 up, Jake Taylor with the goal.
Then towards the near post, Bass makes a mess of it. Bobby can't clear, it's into the net. Exeter have scored.
I feel like it's one of those goals where, another day, it could be given for a foul.
Yeah.
But I would say that has to be stronger there at times. Yeah. Although he has been very good in goal. But I thought it was a good finish from Taylor, good reaction. Birch's header wasn't the best. And overall, I thought the game was going to end at 1-0 to them, and a home record for a long time wouldn't be gone. But somehow we managed to claw it back, not once but twice, and to win in the last kick of the game, pure delirium. And as Bruce was telling the press box, and you will know, went carnage. Everyone was ecstasy.
Yeah, John mentions there, you know, they went 1-0 up, Reece, and it looks as though Exeter going to Wembley. 10 minutes of the game left. It's been quite a poor game from both sides. No one really seemingly creating many attacking opportunities, and you kind of thought from there that we'll be lucky to get one back, let alone three in the end. But the scenes and that away, and Exeter, as you mentioned before, they're a good side, and once they brought on Randall Williams, he absolutely ran the show. He was pretty much the cause of both of their goals in the end. He won the corner for the second, he ran the length of the pitch to set up the first one, and you kind of thought from that point onwards, 10 minutes for Pompey to get back into the game. We don't often do that, but we didn't do a Pompey. We done what other teams do against Pompey. I think Exeter done a Pompey.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, and as well as that, we showed great passion to get back into it the first time. Mm. But as well as that, you know, the Burgess own goal, it was quite defeating, and you never know whether that will take sort of the life out of the players, if you know the defence is going to hold up for those last, you know, extra minutes. But for us to do it again after, you know, it was an own goal, so the team put themselves behind again in a way. For us to come back again, I mean, the desire, you could just see it, and then obviously to get the winner, but to come back twice when it looks down and out, and you know, how many times do we do that? Like you say, it's it was incredible.
Let's talk about Ellis Harrison for a moment, John. 24th minute, he was subbed off by Kenny Jackett. It was a forced substitution. It was an injury. It looked as though he was holding his leg. Mm-hmm. It may have been dead leg. May have just been an impact injury. We don't know if he's available tomorrow. I think he will not be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hopefully looking to the rest of the season, it's not going to be a long-term one. He came off 24th minute. John Marquis replaced him. And you could say tactical genius by Kenny, but didn't really have a lot of other options, did he?
No, as you say, it wasn't forced, and from my position, it looked like it was innocuous. But then I think after the first initial time he went down again, it looked like it was game for him. Marks came on, and he managed to get a very good decisive goal and finally scored in the front end. And overall, I think going forward, we have some very, very good forward players. You even mentioned Hawkins as a substitute in 60th minute or so. He came on, didn't score a goal, but he was a different threat for the opposition to try and play against. And going forward, we have some very good firepower. I think good teams find a way to win. We managed to do that, like you say, in the 96th minute. I still can't get over it.
Marcus Hardus as well, he was the man who scored Pompey's first equaliser. 86th minute that was. 4 minutes of the game remaining. Again, you think, well, okay, that's it, it's going to penalties. But he's a man who scored on Tuesday night. He played well on Saturday as well into the EFL team of the week. A player who's come back into the frame, Ryan Williams, hasn't really had much of a sniff recently. Reese, do you think he's been integral to Pompey's good run of form since the start of the year?
Definitely. I think both sides on the both wings have been, you know, they've upped their game this season. I think Harness and Williams they've got strengths in different areas. I think Harness has definitely shown that he can have bursts of magic during games, and you know, Tuesday he was in the right place at the right time as well. I think there are definitely improvements as well that Harness and Williams can have. They are already, I think, very good players. Mm-hmm. But I do think there are areas they can also strengthen in, and the fact that we're playing as we are now just shows that if they can improve, you know, who knows what will happen then. They could be amazing. But yeah, I definitely think they have been just phenomenal for us.
Pompey have a lot of attacking options now, don't they, John? There's a lot of strength and depth in the squad. You look at Tuesday night's bench, you look at Saturday's bench against Shrewsbury, a lot of good players on that bench you think actually could very easily be within the first team and have been in the first team at periods of the season. You've got Gareth Evans, you've got Andy Cannon, who's out with an injury. You mentioned Ollie Hawkins as well, John Marquis,
Pittman,
Harrison.
He's not in the start and matchday squads anymore.
Yeah, Pittman can't even get a sniff in. Gareth Evans, Ellis Harrison, Ronan Curtis, Ryan Williams, Marcus Harness. All of these players at the start of the season, we were crying out for number 10. We seem to have got that nailed down now. Yep. We've been crying out for attacking players. We've got that. We've been crying out for a striker who can score goals when not necessarily playing to the best of his ability. We've got that. We've gone from Milton and Marquis to Fratton and John. We've got players now who are playing as a unit, playing with confidence, playing as a team. And this could be very integral going into the second half of the season.
That's the key word to use, their team. I think at the start of the season, there are too many players trying to do a thing themselves. And I think now, like, we have so many good players who are maybe at times on periphery again in starting level. Ollie Hawkins hasn't given him much of a sniff this season, but now, given he's coming in Tuesday, I think he could be on the bench on Saturday tomorrow. And Ellis could be out for a little while. This could be Hawkins' time to shine. Go for the bench, could score a goal, or even start maybe. But now Marquis is starting to score, I think. Going forward, he's going to be a big, big bonus for us. And with Ellis back, even obviously the fancy Pittman gets 100 appearances, but it's a real problem to have for Jacket. Although the worry would be at times, let's say players don't get started for a while. If you've seen Hawkins post match with Andy Moon, he has said that he's been a bit frustrated not getting much minutes.
Yeah.
If in the summer we do manage to touch wood, get promoted, how many of this team would you say would be we willing to stay as a bit part player at best?
Yeah, can never know. It'd be interesting to see who does, of course, stay at the club in the summer if Pompey can get promoted.
It's a big if.
Yeah, there's a long way to go. A lot of games still to be played. Don't forget you can get involved back home at ExpressFM on Twitter, Pompey@expressfm.com on the emails, or you can text the word Express and your message to 81400. Dave Byrne in Cowplain has got involved on the emails. The weak defensive header for Exeter's first goal was Tom Naylor, not Christian Burgess. I feel sorry for Burgess with the own goal, as he has been playing consistently well recently. Thank you to Dave and Cowplain for getting involved. Don't forget, get involved all the usual ways. Are you going to be going to Wembley this year, or do you think that last season's appearance has kind of worn off the novelty a little bit? Where does Tuesday night rank amongst your favourite Pompey games since you've been supporting the club? And do you think Pompey should prioritise signing Steve Seddon on a permanent deal? His loan runs out at the end of the season, of course, and he has hinted that he wants to settle down somewhere. We'll be back in just a few moments' time for the continuation of the Friday Football Hour here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the show, which is brought to you by Stagecoach across the South, who provide a cheap, fast and reliable service across the city and all over the South Coast too. Find out more information by visiting stagecoach.co.uk or download the app on either the Apple app or Google Play Store. John, I'm going to come to you now and talk about the last few games Pompey have played, even before that Exeter match on Tuesday night. A win over Shrewsbury at Fratton Park, 2-0 last Saturday. A routine win, not the greatest of games, but we got the job done.
Yep.
That followed a 1-0 defeat away to Coventry City in midweek. A massive game at the top end of the table between two sides in the playoffs chasing for the top two. Now, if we win that game, there's still a long way to go. It's not season defining. Mm-hmm. So I think if you lose that game, exactly the same rule applies. Still a long way to go. It doesn't mean a lot.
No.
But we bounce back from that game perfectly.
Oh, 100%. As you say, it's going into the game against Cov, there was two of the form sides, and I think two form sides in the league going head-to-head. Always going to be a tight game. And overall, of course, 9 minutes, I don't think Armstrong really deserved to win it, but they managed to get the goal at the last stage of the game, where it looks like we just got held out for a good point, and then Sucker Punch scored a goal in that game.
Yeah.
Well, as you say, we managed to fight back really well and bounce back against a very, very good Shrewsbury side, may I add, who managed to come to Fram Park past season and get good results for following the 1-0 win, the 1-0 last year, and now this year we finally managed to beat him, finally managed to get through the line. And Tuesday, that's something that's I think we said enough. You can't. No words can describe how we felt following Tuesday. Yeah. That can be season defining. The fact we managed to fight back not once but twice and then win the game.
Yeah.
You can't write it.
It serves as a confidence boost and a massive one, doesn't it, Reece? Heading into this end of the season, we were discussing on Monday night on the Football Hour whether or not the EFL Trophy has maybe got in the way of our chances of promotion again this season, like many did suggest did last campaign. But, you know, into the semi-finals, you've got to play it, whether you win or lose. And then you've got Wembley. You know, at this stage of the season now, we've been there, we've done it. Whether you think it's a distraction or not, we're there. We're in the final. We've got to play it. Do you think that actually it has been a distraction to the league? Or do you think that actually winning these games just breeds confidence into the squad, into the team? A win's a win, no matter what competition.
Of course, I definitely think that it's put massive confidence into our team, and that's exactly what Wembley's going to do now. It's one more game, it's at Wembley, the players will definitely be looking forward to it. And I sort of see it as like the Arsenal game. It's you've got Arsenal next Monday, and I'm looking forward to it, I'm sure the players are. It's one of those big tests, you know, going to Wembley as well. You know, Salford, I'm sure they'll put up as much as a fight as they can, and we'll want it and they'll want it, and it's something to really look forward to, and it'll be a massive boost of momentum in a way. And it's not even like we need it because we've performed so well recently, but anything like that is going to serve a massive boost to the team and is a massive positive. I don't think the games have really, in my opinion, been a hindrance to our performance in the league or anything like that, because, you know, there's multiple cups. We went out of one. We're still in the FA Cup and the leasing.com, and I just think that, yeah, if anything, our run in that has helped confidence in the team and our performance in the league.
I think it's a fair comment, John. You know, you look at our form in 2020 so far, 11 wins from 13 games, a draw at Gillingham on New Year's Day, that lost to Coventry last week, which was a bit harsh on Pompey. Wasn't the greatest of games, but I don't think any team really deserved to win that one. But we've had so many trophy games since the turn of the year. We've had so many. We've had Fleetwood in the Cup, FA Cup, Barnsley in the FA Cup. We've had Walsall in the EFL Trophy, of course, Scunthorpe as well. We've had Exeter. We've beaten them all. We're still winning league games. Confidence is high. Okay, you could argue that some players are looking a little bit fatigued, but Pompey have, we mentioned it earlier, such a strength in depth this season. You look at last season, Fleetwood away, we had Dan Smith and Theo Widrington on the bench. And full credit to them, youngsters coming through the ranks, and I'm sure they're going to have their careers flourished elsewhere. But you look at our bench over the last few games. You've got Evans, you've got Hawkins, you know, we mentioned it a few moments ago, Marquess on the bench. You've got these players who are nailed on first team players. We don't have to rely now on players who haven't played in months, players who are just coming through the academy. We've got a settled squad.
Oh, certainly. And I know Kenny in recent times has been saying in interviews that it's not just a 18 man game, but you have the entire squad who's now together. And he mentioned it briefly there, we've past few seasons we've been really struggling to get a strength depth. Last year that could have cost us, and maybe in Jack's first season the strength depth, all the promotion was never on the agenda really. If we had more players at the time, because remember we got Stephen Henson on loan, emergency loan, who went into injury straight away. Looking back now, we had Bass playing, McGillivray, we could have got promotion and or playoffs even. But now I think as a whole, it's so good to have strength in depth. Because let's say if someone's a bit tired this weekend, we can pay. Let's say Bragg gets tired, we can put Watmore in. If not, it's up front. You got Marcus a bit tired, put Hawkins in. On the wing, you've maybe Curtis a bit tired, put Evans in, or Williams. It's such a problem to have a jacket. I think going forward can really help us out.
And Ellis Harrison, of course, we expect him not to play tomorrow's game. He could do. Kelly could surprise us. He could be lying to the media. He's done it a few times.
You know,
Jamal Lowe, start of last season. It's happened. And it's not a major injury to Ellis Harrison. But looking at the strength that we've got and the squad that we do have at our disposal now, Reece, John Marquis, you know, Ollie Hawkins, even Brett Pittman, if he does want to be called upon, we've got players, and we've got certainly players who are capable of coming in. Ollie Hawkins had a great game on Tuesday night. It's not at a point where we're losing a player and actually we're worried about the next game. We lost Andy Cannon last week to a glute injury. He's possibly out for tomorrow as well. But have we missed him? Not really, because we're still winning games. Yeah, we miss him because he's a great player, but we're still finding ways to win.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a nod to how we went out in our summer and January transfer windows, especially in the January transfer window, picking up players that we needed to strengthen the areas of the squad that we needed to strengthen. It means that players fight for their positions as well, and it brings the best out of each player, I think. You know, if Marquis was out for a game, you know you can rely on Harrison and vice versa. And I think that competition in the different positions, whether it's someone being benched or someone's injured, you know you've always got another almost like-for-like player that will come in and do just as a good job, which is brilliant, because last season we were pretty thin on squad depth, so it's quite nice to see that this season.
John, Reece, thank you. We're going to hear now from the manager again, Kenny Jackett, who continues now his conversation with Andy Moon on the touchline on Tuesday night.
You went full strength tonight. Pretty clear you wanted the win.
Yeah, definitely. You know, with a home game, you wonder what the opposition are going to do. And obviously, they've changed a few. And also, sometimes it doesn't always work that when you do play your full strength side, you put on a great performance. It doesn't work that way. And sometimes, you know, bringing a few youngsters in just gives you that lift. But anyway, it was a semi-final. It was a home game for us, i.e. no travelling. So I did feel that let's give ourselves the best possible chance, because obviously it's a semi-final. One way or another, anyway, I'm delighted with the performance. The atmosphere in the ground was terrific at the end, and it can only help us win in a game like that.
What was the injury suffered by Ellis Harrison?
Yeah, Ellis had a dead leg. We'll see how he is by the weekend. Don't expect it to be anything major. He did try to run it off, but unfortunately he couldn't.
And Gareth Evans, was that just selection tonight, leaving him out the 18?
Yeah, it was. And you know, I did feel that we might need Ollie Hawkins and John Marquis, and it did sort of prove to be the case, really. So, you know, in terms of selecting the side, you know, we have a good squad at the moment, a squad that's fit. I hope it stays that way, and I have these type of tough decisions, because it certainly was a difficult one. You know, Gareth's been a good player for me, and I have a lot of time for him.
What's Wembley going to be like a second time?
Yeah, it'd be great. And whenever you go as a manager, and whenever you take your team there, you should be proud. And I certainly will. It's tucked away though for a couple of months, and we have other priorities. But you know, we've worked hard again in this competition. We've worked hard tonight, so we should enjoy it and try and go there to win.
Yeah, you mentioned tucked away, something you'd have to do, but a nice thing to look forward to down the line.
It is always. You know, we all know. Now we have the league campaign and the good position that we're in, and how, you know, we want to finish strong in almost a third of the season to go. And in the FA Cup, we have the Arsenal game as well. We have Arsenal here. So some big games. The league is number one, obviously, but whenever you get the chance and the opportunity to go to Wembley, you should never turn it down. You have to try to go there as a player and as a manager. You know, they're the ones you remember.
The manager there, Kenny Jackett, following Tuesday night's 3-2 win over Exeter in the EFL Trophy semi-final. In case you missed it, I don't know how you've missed it, but Pompey are through to the final. Wembley, Sunday the 5th of April. They will play Salford City at the National Stadium. They beat Newport County on penalties on Wednesday night. Let's talk about that final quickly then, John. And Salford in the final, a team who competed last season at Wembley in the National League playoff final. They're in League 2 now, mid-table, not really battling relegation, not really troubling the top of the table. A new team to the Football League and a new team to playing at Wembley. Last season, National League Playoff Final, the overall attendance between them and AFC Fylde, just over 8,000. So, okay, they might take a fair few more to this one. Maybe, you know, 10, maybe 15 at a push. Okay, you know, let's face it, it's at least it's not a team of, you know, glory hunters just coming up to Wembley. At least they've got, you know, they're nailed on supporters. They're going to get, you know, the fan base that kind of fits their club. But that leaves a lot of room for Pompey fans. Now, Mark Catlin has, in the week, suggested that the Blues may be open to having a higher allocation this season. Of course, last year we took 44,000 to Wembley. Yeah. Sunderland just under 43, so right about equal to that. This season, potential maybe even 50-55. We could get into that top tier, perhaps even go over the Salford fans and around the other half of the stadium. It could happen. What do you think about that? Do you think Pompey will sell that amount of tickets? Or do you think that because of last season's success, that maybe it's kind of like, Wembley again? Does it have the same kind of lure as last season does?
That's a hard one. I think last year, given it was Sunderland, and through the course of the season, they were not the enemy, but they were solid. We had some playing, and it was like we're playing every week, and we had some very battles with them. And this year, the fact that we managed to go there, go back to Wembley, obviously it's brilliant. Wembley is always good for any tier, any division. Going to Wembley is brilliant, but I suppose the caliber of team we're playing, say Salford, it always goes to face new clubs. But I can't see them taking more than maybe 10,000-15,000 at a push. And I'd do odd. Yeah, I'd like to say we could sell 55,000 Wembley, but I don't think it will.
No,
I think last season everyone did. Most people went, and it was this year. I like to think we do the same, but in a realistic world, probably take 40,000. That's really good support, but I don't think we more than that.
No. A good chance this season, Reece, for Pompey to nick the Trafalgar Square Trophy off of Sunday. an illustrious title which has been theirs for a whole season now. But you know, we mentioned Salford and the opposition, and you know, you give credit to them and Newport for getting as far as they did, and I think even Newport, you know, based on the size of the club and the fan base, they probably wouldn't have taken too many more than Salford. But it's a good opportunity now for Pompey to take that amount of fans. But also, as John mentioned there, it's not Sunderland. It's not a team who we really want to beat. It's not a team who we have such that sort of rivalry with. It's Salford. It's a League Two team, a team who we should be beating. And again, we won it last season. We've been there, we've done that. Can you kind of feel that the atmosphere at Wembley this time around may not be as special? Or do you think it could be even better? Because we could be the first team to retain it.
I definitely think there will be a core, you know, group of supporters who will go no matter what to Wembley. It's then just depending on the people who sort of are coming to Wembley as family or friends. A lot of people like that knew Sunderland, and you know, if I said to my family who aren't really football fans, you know, if I said to them Sunderland, they would have gone, "Oh, I know there's a little bit of a rivalry, a bit of a tension there last season, just because of the number of times we played." But if I was to mention Salford to them this season, they, you know, they wouldn't have the same reaction. So it really is about whether the fans who came as family and friends, and who came to support Portsmouth at Wembley, who may not be season ticket holders or whatever, you know. Are they going to come because it like you say, Salford hasn't maybe got the same lure as Sunderland did? But no, I'm confident we can definitely bring a large number. And I don't think, you know, Wembley's Wembley. For me, go to Wembley, you know, I'm chanting my socks off. You know, there's nothing, for me, it's so special just to go there. And even if we were to go there for the next, you know, 5 or 6 seasons in a row, I don't think the magic will get taken away from it. And I'm sure a lot of Pompey fans will feel that as well.
I think it's fair to say, John, that Wembley's Wembley, as Reece mentioned there, no matter what, unless you're a Premier League team who played Tottenham, you know, there every season for 2 or 3 seasons in a row, that kind of wore off a little bit. But no, Reece is right, you know, it's a cup final. Whether or not it happened last season or not, if you're going to reach these finals, let's face it, and we said this last season, it's not going to happen again next season.
No,
hopefully we go up and we don't even have a chance.
But
we might not get to Wembley for a very long time again. This is another thing I said last season, but this is a chance for people to have that day out at Wembley, have that opportunity to take their kids, take their family who haven't been before, because I'm sure there are plenty of them who couldn't go last year, who, you know, perhaps weren't even born last year to go. Do you know what I mean? But there are a lot of people who are still wanting to go. I think we'll still take 45,000.
Yeah, I think, as you say, a lot of people last year, most people loved it last year. And I think, again, obviously, it's a cup final at Wembley, as Reece said, everyone loves to go. I think, personally, I'm still going to go. And most people I know will go. Actually, Jake, you're right there. I think he seems to be slowly dying.
I'm speechless from there. took my breath away.
Yeah, it makes sense. No, I think, it's... The Carol Wembley is always good, regardless of competition you're in. You say, it could be a very long time to talk back there. Hopefully, as a stats, could be on course to go there 4 times a season. Yeah. Touch wood. But, no, I think, we probably would say that. We're a little club who love it at Wembley.
Yeah. Mark from Texas, there's no way we will take 50,000. In fact, it'd be amazing if we took 40, especially with the trains up the creek, says Mark.
Oh, that's true.
The trains are a bit knackered on that day. Graham Wilkins says, good evening, gents. Firstly, Tuesday was one of those nights that will live long in my memory. Because of the last 20 minutes, it was absolutely crazy. Thank you to Graham for getting in touch. Don't forget, get in touch all the usual ways between now and 7. We're going to go to a quick break before the conclusion of tonight's Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome back to Express FM, the only radio station from a great waterfront city. You're listening to the Football Hour, which is driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app today to plan your next journey. I'm going to apologise to Graham Wilkins. I only read out a portion of your email there. I'm going to read out the rest of it now. I'm suffering a little bit. I've just got myself a glass of water, so I'm going to read the rest of that one out now. Good evening, says Graham. Tuesday is one of those nights that will live long in my memory because of the last crazy 20 minutes. And to any Pompey fan that left when Burgess scored the own goal, then more fool for you. The crowd were really into it and it was a super atmosphere, and I'm glad I still have my voice afterwards. I wish I had mine, Graham. I really do. Credit to all of the players for the way they came back from what we all probably thought was going to be a loss after Burgess scored the own goal. Our second home of Wembley beckons the Blue Army yet again in April. Hawkins had a good impact in the second half and made a nuisance of himself, and it's the first time we've seen the Marquis strut when he scored his goal. As for Seddon, although I like Brown at left back, if we can sign him, that would be a great coup for the Blues. Thank you, Graham Wilkins, for getting involved on the emails. Don't forget to get involved on the emails, pompey@expressfm.com. Text the word express and your message to 81400, or you can find us on Twitter at expressfm. We're looking for your score predictions ahead of tomorrow night's trip to Fleetwood Town in League One. Speaking of that game, let's take a look at tomorrow's opposition, Fleetwood Town.
After Tuesday night's dramatic EFL Trophy encounter at Fratton Park, which saw the Blues, of course, book their place in the Wembley final, it's back to League One action for Pompey this weekend. And on the agenda in League One is a trip back up north to Fleetwood Town.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Cod Army await Kenny Jackett's side at Highbury Stadium for the Blues' 31st League One fixture of the season. Pompey only made the journey up to Lancashire last month, running out 2-1 winners in the third round of the FA Cup.
Manager.
Controversial figure Joey Barton is the Fleetwood boss. The 37-year-old former Newcastle and Marseille midfielder retired from playing in 2018, having been banned for 18 months due to betting breaches in April 2017. The following month, Barton was released by Burnley and he spent months without a club before deciding to call time on his playing career and turn his hand to management, Fleetwood being his first managerial gig.
One to watch.
Keep an eye this weekend on number 12, Glenn Whelan, who has only recently made the move to the club. The Irish international midfielder has Premier League pedigree and linked up with former teammate Barton, with whom he played alongside at Manchester City in the January transfer window. Whelan spent the first half of the season at Hearts, playing in the Scottish Premiership.
Top scorer.
29-year-old Football League journeyman Paddy Madden is flying high in the League One top scorers chart this season. The Irishman has 15 goals to his name so far and is second joint in the standings, behind only Peterborough's Ivan Toney, who already has a whopping 23. Madden has scored 2 goals in his last 3 appearances for the Cod Army.
Current form.
Fleetwood are on a stellar run of form, having gone unbeaten in their last 7 matches. Since the two sides last came face-to-face, Barton's Reds have been knocked out of the EFL Trophy by Accrington Stanley, lost away to Burton Albion in the league before taking 15 points from their next 7 games. The Cod Army are on a run of 4 consecutive wins, which has put them just 2 points behind Pompey in the playoffs, with the same amount of matches played as the Blues and, like Pompey, games in hand on other promotion rivals. So, can the Blues continue to keep up with the pace with the top 2 sides in the league? Join us for all of the unmissable action as it unfolds right here on 93.7 FM and I Follow Pompey for Pompey Live.
Big thanks to Robbie James for an in-depth look at this week's opposition, Fleetwood Town, who we've just been discussing off-air what they're going to bring to the pitch tomorrow afternoon. They face Pompey, a 3 o'clock kickoff, a better kickoff time this time, John, than the 5:31 kickoff in the FA Cup. That wasn't too nice of a journey back. But 3 o'clock this time, League One, Saturday. Don't really see that a lot, do we?
I think we've only got
one of them left this season at Fratton Park. Tuesday night's win over Exeter means that the home game against Bristol Rovers on Saturday, the 4th of April, will be rearranged, and it's looking likely it'll either be the Tuesday, the 21st, or the 28th of April. Really, they're like the only Tuesdays we've got left, barring international breaks. So, a very strained fixture list now for Pompey heading into this end of the season. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough for Pompey to try and get through that. But at the same time, you get these winning runs going like we have done, And you kind of want these games to come thick and fast. You want to keep playing the games. You want to keep winning games. And you want to keep these unbeaten runs going. That could actually help us.
Oh, yeah, of course it could. But you can flip it both ways. If you're in bad form, you want the game to come very... You might want a little break, but if we're in good such form, we want the game to come thick and fast, you say. I think tomorrow will be a very difficult challenge, given the current form. Recently, they've managed to go 7 unbeaten, beat Peterborough last week, beat Wickham the week before, and as Reece mentioned, drew with Doncaster and Coventry before that. So going into tomorrow, I think it's going to be a very hard game, but as Joe Barnes said before, ironically enough, in the FA Cup game, we were a set-piece team. Most fans are baffled by the comment, but now we can see you are, I think, the same tomorrow. I could see us winning maybe 2-3-1 if we're lucky.
We mentioned earlier, you know, the impact of the FA Cup and the EFL Trophy and whether they're getting him away or not. Steve Seddon, a player who's coming in January, Reece, probably one of the best signings we've made this season. And his debut was against Fleetwood in the FA Cup. Performed really well, assisted both of the goals, essentially. And that was when Set Piece Seddon was born. That was when Pompey started scoring from corners and free kicks. The next game, Walsall away in the EFL Trophy, again put in a fantastic performance. It was the creator of both of our goals. He has hinted this week that he is open to settling down somewhere. He doesn't want to keep going out on loan. He wants to settle down, but he didn't say where. He didn't say at Pompey, so we won't assume too much, but he also didn't hint at the fact that he wants to stay at Birmingham. So, judging on that, do you feel that it's necessary that Pompey will try and do their utmost best to secure the signing of him permanently in the summer, whether we go up or not?
100%. I mean, I'd love to have him here, just because of the quality that he's introduced down that left-hand side. He's, you know, really shored it up. And, I mean, I like Brown. Don't get me wrong. I do like Lee Brown. But his strength is being a character in the squad. He really does bring character. Seddon brings more quality. And, like, as you said, you know, think about our run of games since he's come in, fixture congestion and everything. Think about the impact he's had on the squad, and look at the results. The results reflect the defensive performance as well as the attacking performance. You know, he's contributed to goals as well as putting in the defensive shift. So I would 100% go for him in the summer, because I think he is quality.
A few of you get involved on social media as well, on Facebook in particular. Shane Annis says 100%. He's been the team has been different class since his arrival. Brett Holdaway says set piece delivery is gold dust, especially for a side like ours under Kenny Jackett, i.e. creating very little, plus the rest that he does bring. So yes, definitely. Christine Price says the best player we've got since Ben Thompson. Ooh. Marcus Deakin says we need to do everything feasible to secure him permanently. The best left back we've had since Ender Stevens. Still only a nipper as well, so he has at least 10 years in him, during most of which he'll only keep getting better. Only problem is I can't see Birmingham letting him go, and even if they did, he will not be cheap, says Marcus on Facebook. And he brings up some very good points. Will Birmingham, aside in the Championship, who, okay, they're challenging this season for the playoffs, whether they'll get it or not I'm not too sure, but they're aside now on the up after the last few seasons, they may want to keep him at St Andrews.
100%. I think I remember an article a few months ago saying it relies on one of the current left back. I can't remember his name. I can't remember that. But Abraham, I think the fans do like him, although he won't start because he's simply not championship quality. Which is, that's not insult to him or to us. It's just because the championship is such a good league, such a good step up from this anyway. That I think going forward it would be feasible enough to assume that he wants to settle down somewhere, as you said. And whether it's here or not, it's just get read between the lines. I interpret that as if he go up, he'll stay. If he don't, he won't. Yeah. So the simple answer is go up and we'll keep him. And we'll buy him. Hopefully, you'd think, anyway. I don't believe Birmingham can recall him, can they? They might be able to.
No.
There you go. So end of the season. We've got to at least end of the season. And it's like the German just said there, we best left back since end of Steven. I think that's probably fair to say. Although I do miss Dean Donahue's left foot at times.
John in Gosport says, I'm sure I heard not long after we got him and realised how good of a player he was. Seddon's parent club say they're not interested in selling him, says John in Gosport. Well, that's why you negotiate. We'll have to do our very best. I'm sure if we get to the Championship, then maybe investment will come more so into the squad heading into next season to try and keep afloat in the second tier. Got a few more on Facebook as well. Belinda Marsh says, yes, definitely. James Heesman says, yes, and McGeehan as well. As Martin Wake says, he is a Championship player. Of course, Steve Seddon there. Looking ahead to tomorrow evening's game, then, Fleetwood away in the league, Reece, a side who are only 2 points behind Pompey. They themselves are challenging for at least a playoff position. They've got the games in hand, like the Blues do as well, one of which against Pompey at Flatton Park in a few weeks' time. Joey Barton's side have won 4 in a row, unbeaten in 7, have also had a great start to 2020. And we saw it in the FA Cup game. They're not going to be a rollover. This is going to be a difficult time.
100%. And they are the sort of team where I always, personally, you know, you think of the big teams in the league and everything, and you think they're going to be the big dogs and the tough opponents. But then you get to around to teams like Fleetwood and the form that they're in, and you don't realise until, you know, match day or that week that actually this is going to be a really tough test. They've beaten some big sides already, and you know the form just says it all. And obviously we've got to go to their place. Obviously they've got to come to us still, but both teams are in some really solid form, and I think what could help us is, you know, that incentive of Wembley on Tuesday and everything, and really coming back after, you know, coming back not only twice but then winning the game and everything. I think that could just be a massive boost to us tomorrow. I do definitely see Fleetwood scoring.
Yeah,
I think we can win. But yeah, it's all in the balance because it's quite tight between the two teams in the table and everything. So
safe to say it will be another statement win if the Blues can put off for 3 points tomorrow evening. Graham Wilkins says, "Hi again, Crokey and Co." Graham, it's one of the nicest insults I've had this season. Thank you. Regarding Wembley and Pompey playing in another final, I've had so many people at work asking me if I can get them tickets, and some don't even normally follow the Blues. Obviously, whatever happens ticket-wise, my family will get first dibs, and then we'll go from there. Still think it'll be a great occasion, even if it's not a record-breaking crowd like last year, and I'm looking forward to it nonetheless. Regarding Fleetwood tomorrow, I'm predicting a 2-1 victory with Curtis and Raggett with the goals. And we got another tweet in here, sorry, from Gad Jones. Good evening, gents. After the excitement of Tuesday night and missing the game due to working late, I can't wait to make that 520-mile round trip for the second time this season. Am I right in thinking that Ched Evans is still suspended, or has that been served now? Gav, no. I think you are right
there.
Yeah,
I think he is still
suspended. So that will be a positive for the Blues. But Paddy Madden,
14 goals.
Dangerous player, scores goals for fun. Football League legend, you could say, Paddy Madden. He's certainly going to provide a real threat for Fleetwood tomorrow afternoon. Okay, let's quickly head over to Ian Chiverton now, our Pompey women's correspondent, who looks ahead to another week of action for Jay Sadler's side.
Hi everyone, my name's Ian Chiverton and welcome to the Pompey Women Update. This weekend, Pompey faced top of the table Crawley Wasps in the league. Due to our successful cup run and the incredible 16 postponements, Pompey find themselves with 6 games in hand over the league leaders. Pompey have already played Crawley twice this season. In November, the Blues went down to a 3-1 away defeat when the teams met in the league. Pompey played 2/3 of the game with 10 players, but were still unlucky not to come away with at least a point, having been in the game right up to the closing stages. Days before Christmas, Pompey are away to Crawley again, this time in the League Cup. Pompey put on a fantastic display that day and came away 2-1 winners. Crawley go into the game in good form, having not lost a match since their December defeat to Portsmouth. They have won all 4 games since then, scoring 10 goals and conceding none. Pompey will have a mostly fully fit squad to pick from, giving Jay Sadler a welcome selection headache. The match against Crawley is a 2 p.m. kickoff at Gosport's Privet Park. Ticket prices are £5 for adults, £2 for concessions, with accompanying children going for free. Both teams are going to be going for the league title this season, so it's sure to be a fiercely contested match. So why not come on down and experience Gosport's fantastic facilities? As always, you can watch all the Pompey Women goals, highlights and interviews on our YouTube channel, Pompey Women Vlogs.
Ian Chiverton there with a look ahead to Pompey Women's next fixture. As you just heard, they host Crawley Wasps in the league at Gosport's Privet Park this Sunday, kickoff 2 p.m. OK, let's get some score predictions coming into us this evening ahead of this weekend's league trip to Fleetwood. On Facebook, Andrew John says 1-1, both teams are in form. I've gone for a draw. Gary Foster says 2-1 Pompey, but a tough game. Pompey Tom says any win for me will do. John Mumford's going for 2-2. And Kenny Simons is going for a 2-1 Pompey win. Again, not an easy match for the Blues. Fairly even on the social media then. Thank you to everyone for getting involved over the last hour or so. Sorry to those who I couldn't read out your text tweets and emails. We've had a lot to talk about tonight. I'm going to come now to John and Reece to sign off here in the studio. And we'll start off with you, John. A score prediction for tomorrow's game, please.
A Fairly tight 3-1 Pompey win.
Very tight 3-1 Pompey win. Any goal scorers at all?
Burgess, Curtis and Hawkins off the bench.
Burgess, Curtis and Hawkins off the bench. Reese?
I think they're going to score. I think it's going to be 3-2 to us.
Ooh, no, 3-2.
John's going for 3-1. Reese is going for 3-2. Now, originally, I had 2-0 down, but yeah, I do agree. I think they're going to score. I think I'm going to go 2-1. 2-1 Pompey win. Safe, routine, nervy, as Pompey do, yeah, as we found out Tuesday night. But yeah, getting it over the line as they have done this year. Okay, that is just about all we've got time for tonight, I'm afraid. There's still loads more to come here on the only radio station proud to be based in the great waterfront city of Portsmouth. Gloria Miller returns for Music for the Soul this evening from 8 o'clock. She'll have 2 hours of nothing but chilled soul music to ease you through your Friday evening. And then from 10, we've got a double helping of Hip Shaker, a groovy blend of 60s soul, R&B and beat music through until midnight. Ian McGuinness is back from 7 a.m. tomorrow morning to bring you Saturday Breakfast. Join Ian for all the usual features, including a chores round and top five, the Saturday Moan, and all the latest on the roads and in the world of sport too, until 10, when John Cameron takes over with his week's edition of Hammer Times. Lily Park will be here at 11 with great songs, the Tidy Quiz, and a look at what's going on in the city this weekend, before handing over to Pompey Live at 2 o'clock. Join myself, Liam Howes and Ryan Stilwell to see if the Blues can keep up with the pace at the top of the table and claim their 12th win in 14 games since the turn of the year. We'll have all the pre-match build-up, half-time analysis and post-match reaction live from Highbury Stadium with commentary of the game in between. Fleetwood and Pompey, it is between at Highbury Stadium. Commentary with Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham. I'll be back on Monday for the next instalment of the Football Hour. Two more Pompey fans join me in the studio to look ahead to Tuesday night's game. Up next is Downtown Disco with the fabulous Josh, which follows the news at 7. But until then, thank you for joining us. Have a great evening and have a great weekend.